overviews. So this was a building down Third Street, maybe around Peterborough, looking back north, east. Okay?
Yep, we're fine. Okay, Peterborough, northeast.
Yeah,
okay, yep.
So I took a few pictures from up there. So the Niagara would have been just south of this way, a couple of blocks. That's Third. Mm-hmm. That's see, that's that sort of that dark after a rain. That's
Wet Street.
Yeah, photographers.
Sky.
Some photographers. That's sort. It's sort of an appealing, moody. It's. But that's the Willis Bar on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just after the Willis Bar. I don't have the. I have a picture taken a year or so before this when the Willis Bar was open. I was recently contacted. Somebody found the picture of the Willis Bar. It's a sunshine picture, and it says Willis Bar. It was still open. And these buildings were purchased about this time by two guys that they own a big flower shop in Birmingham. But they've invested in some properties in the corridor, and they have a branch of their flower shop, mm-hmm. Blossoms.
Oh yeah.
Now,
mm-hmm.
And it's in this building.
Yep, just opened.
Just opened.
Yeah.
And they're right next to it. This building is going to be something, and then this is going to be a new restaurant, the old Willis Bar. So I went down, they had an opening of the Blossoms, and I went down there and took some pictures. And they came to the opening and affirmations. So, yeah, that's probably from the same roof,
uh-huh.
That same building. And this is the Publix Market.
Uh-huh.
The Niagara sat. It's gone now. It's gone in this picture already, because this was probably the early 80s. Niagara was demolished in 79. The Niagara was right there, sat right
on
there.
On the other side of this house.
Other side of that house.
Okay.
So I used to walk across the street to the Publix Market.
Yeah.
But I think the train station, you can maybe see the train station in the distance. Is that the one with the, it's Wonder Bread. The Wonder Bread factory, and right here, barely visible, are the lights of Tiger Stadium, the big lights. So that's Third at Peterborough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's this?
This is a guy. I guess I did things back then that I may not do now, but this there on right across from the Niagara on 4th Street. There were a row of houses that were on 4th Street. So the backs of these houses faced 3rd Street. And I was wandering around over there one day, and I met this guy outside. And he said, he told me, he saw my camera. And he said, I want you to come in this house with me. I want to show you where I slept on an overturned piano last night. And I think I was a little reluctant, but not enough, you know. So I went in this abandoned house with him, and he was actually, this picture, he looks sort of like a bad dude in this picture. I mean, he has a huge scar. But he was very sweet, and he sort of wanted me, he was imploring me to, like, write an article about him, mm-hmm. about his life,
mm-hmm.
which I couldn't. I told him, I said, I'm not really qualified to do that. I can't really do that. But we went to this house, and sure enough, there was an old piano turned over on its side, and I took a picture of him. He sort of laid down the piano and showed me how he had spent the night on this piano. And then how this happened, I'm not quite sure. He took his shirt off, and I just I don't take a lot of time. I don't pose people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't overwork
mm-hmm.
things. He just ended up there, and I snapped a few pictures of him, and then we parted, and I never saw him again.
So he's the first African-American that's been in the selection of photos you've taken, was it? Because the corridor was mostly white area, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I have some of African-Americans mm-hmm. in the Cass corridor, mm-hmm. but not a lot.
Yeah.
I went into the Corinth Hotel, which was on 2nd, just south of the Coronado Hotel, with a prostitute that I got to know a little bit, and she was African American. I photographed her in the room where she would take John's. Mm-hmm. I photographed some women on 3rd Street, but I didn't do a lot of pictures of people on the streets. You know, mm-hmm. I photographed in the Niagara and in the Gold Dollar and in Verdi's and a little bit people I got to know on the streets,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't gutsy enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I was down there one time and I had a very good little camera. It's a Leica,
mm-hmm.
which is an expensive yeah. little camera. And I think I was with a friend, and we were sort of separated, but I raised this camera. There were some guys standing over here, and I raised this camera, and these guys came over, and they kind of surrounded me, and they took this camera out of my hands, and they disappeared, you know. So it was a little risky,
mm-hmm.
you know. I often when I came from Wayne State, am I talking too much?
No.
When I came from Wayne State, like to the Niagara, I would, if I had my bigger cameras, I'd carry them in a brown paper bag. The Leica, I could, you know, the lens was collapsible, and I could just put it in my pocket if I wanted to take a picture, but I wasn't just out flashing cameras on the street,
right.
you know, you're just asking for trouble.
Right.
But I'd carry this stuff in a brown paper bag down to Mary's, down to the Niagara.
Mm-hmm. So that's the first time you've mentioned any, you know, sort of danger in the Cass Corridor. Was that sort of how the neighborhood felt for you, or were you more protecting expensive camera equipment? Like, what was the balance of that?
I was always wary.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't take a lot of chances. I had sort of a good street sense,
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe I was paranoid. You know, who knows? Maybe I missed a lot of opportunities because of that,
yeah.
as I said earlier. But I was always aware of who is in front of me and who is in back of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sometimes make a turn,
yeah.
you know, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah. So you were this sort of college kid that was venturing off campus to go to places like the Niagara. Did people ask you about that, or what did people think about you sort of crossing that boundary, so to speak?
You mean fellow students or just people, my family, or
all of them, I guess. Yeah, the students, your family, the people that you photograph.
I think my family, I don't remember my family saying I shouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were supportive. I think when I had that article published, they were sort of proud of
mm-hmm.
of that. Students were, I don't want to sound egotistical because I'm not, but I guess I was sort of respected
mm-hmm.
when I was a student. And I've even had, recently I had an exhibit, I mean it was a few years ago now, at U of M Dearborn,
mm-hmm.
Cardio Vista. And there was a photographer in the show whose name I should remember. He's actually in the exhibit. He has pictures in the exhibit now at the DIA of Detroit After Dark.
Yeah.
And he came in there and he said, "Bruce Harkness, I was a couple years behind you at CCS, and you really, man, that was, that picture, of, matter of fact, that one of Mary,
yeah.
you know, that really got me." And now it's, you know, that, this kind of photography is passé somewhat, I think.
Why?
Well, this was like that, you know, we studied the photographers that went out and photographed during the Depression. I was influenced by them, Walker Evans, Dorothea Lange, Ben Shawn, and you know, that's sort of old, that's kind of old hat now. Photography is, you know, the digital age, it's changed so radically. And like the pictures, the stuff now is, you know, one thing is big, you know, big prints. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the thing now. That's the fashion, the trend. And they're so beautiful. They're so perfect. And my stuff is, it's, you know, even, you know, I admit it, this stuff is, I'm sort of embarrassed sometimes even to bring this stuff out, because this was like 40 years ago, and it's like, oh, Harkness is dragging out his old cast corridor pictures again. You know,
But that's sort of true.
Well, yeah, this exhibit at Affirmations, I actually showed a bunch of stuff that I had never even printed in all those years. So in a sense, it's kind of new, but not really. But locally, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but. I mean, I'm not part of the current Detroit photography scene.
Right.
You know, I did. I went. You know Michelle Andonian? Have you ever encountered Michelle? She's a local photographer I knew her at CCS, and she did quite well. And she knows Nancy Barr at the DIA, the Curator of the Photography Department. And I, with a little help from Michelle and on my own initiative, I had an appointment with Nancy Barr, and I took my boxes of prints over there, and Nancy Barr had no interest in anything.
Did she tell you why?
No, and I didn't ask why. You know, she just said, I can't do anything for you. Hmm. And there are my contemporaries have things at the DIA. So, you know, I guess it hurts a little bit, but not really. I understand how it is. There are other photographers who I greatly admire who have sort of done the kind of thing I did. And it's, you know, I think that I'm starting to talk too much about myself, which I don't want to do, but I think that I was interested in people. Mm-hmm. And the look of the city. And for a set number of years when I was younger, I went out and I took a lot of photographs. And I think that it has its place. Mm-hmm. It's not the best. You know, I'm not a great photographer. But I have documented, as if we can click on, I have documented significant things in this city. And it's not the glamorous stuff. You know, I often go for ordinary. I like ordinary. Even in prints, I would rather have somebody look at one of my photographs and say, what the hell do you photograph that for? Than say, wow! You know, I'm a little suspicious of that. I like sort of understated, quiet things that people might not pay a lot of attention to. That's what I like, and there's really, I'm not so sure. I mean, maybe it's just bad photography. That's entirely possible, and it's boring. Seriously, that is an option, but people aren't real interested. You know, I've shown my work quite a few places, and no.
But you've had some very, I don't know, smaller focused exhibits,
yeah.
It seems like.
So yes, I have. I've taken
those.
I went to the Hamtramck Historical Museum a few years ago, and I said I have, you know, I documented Poletown in 1981, and you know, there Hamtramck was connected with that,
right?
Because the Dodge main plant was in Hamtramck, and Hamtramck wanted that auto factory. So, Greg Greg, that he's a curator over at the Hamtramck Historical Museum, I can't think of his last name right now, was interested. So I put together an exhibit of 50. 50 seems to be my number of 50 framed photographs from my Pole Town project. And so that was an exhibit. It got a little press. Michael Jackman. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if he did that one, but he did a nice thing on the in a blog, mm-hmm. on the Affirmations exhibit, which was the Cass Corridor photographs. But it got a little press. It got a little, you know. Greg told me that a lot of people came to the museum to see the exhibit, but you know, it's not like pulling teeth, but I paid for that, you know. Mm-hmm. Nobody helped me with anything on that. The museum doesn't have any money. They're trying to get a new furnace, you know. So, and then the Affirmations thing, that was through a woman I met when I was part of an exhibit at U of M. Mm-hmm. Shane Coppitz. She got me, introduced me to Affirmations. But again, it's on my own.
What about the farming? Is it the Detroit Yes Farm?
The Yes Farm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's another wonderful. I really do have a lot of wonderful stories, but
see?
You know, I could go on forever.
Go ahead, tell me about
Well,
the farm.
There's a. We would come to the pictures eventually here, but there, in between 1987 and 1989, you know, when I did the Pole Town project. I did the Pole Town project in 1981 when I was a graduate student at Wayne State. And after that, I met a history professor, John Bukowczyk, mm-hmm. who, I should know exactly what his, it's Polish immigration studies, smart guy, went to Harvard. but he was interested in my photographs, and he helped me do this set of Pole Town pictures. We had an exhibit at Pretty Kresge Library. He got them donated first to the archive, the folklore archive, and then later that went to the Reuther. Mm-hmm. Well, that was in 82, 83. Then he said, Bruce, I have an idea for a project. Let's go to the Old East Side, south of where the Pole Town neighborhood was, the south side of 94. The Pole Town plant in the old neighborhood was just on the north side of 94. Let's go there and try to go into people's homes and photograph them and do oral history interviews. And we'll call it urban interiors. Mm. So I'm like, this was in the 86, so I had no job. So I was fine. Let's try it. And we got I got a Michigan Council for the Arts grant to support this, and John got other grants because he was in a good position at Wayne. So in 87, I started wandering those streets like I did in the corridor, the Cass corridor, but this was the Shane corridor, Shane Street from 94 to Mac, south to Mac, and St. Aubin on the west, east to Mount Elliott. And I just, and we did that for two or three years. Pardon me for a moment. I have a paper. Let me see.
Okay.
I hope I'm not boring you to death.
Not at all.
No, I have a tendency to do that. I know I talk.
No, you don't.
In the end, we did 60 hours of oral history interviews with 51 residents of this Old East Side neighborhood in 36 households and businesses. So in some instances, we interview two or three people in the same home. So one place I found, it was on the 4th of July, I was walking down Moran Street. And there was a big building on the corner, and there was an African-American woman out on the sidewalk with an American flag. And I stopped, and I had my camera, and I ended up taking a few pictures of her. And her name was Estelle Laster, Sister Laster. And that was her. She lived there, and it was kind of a church. I don't know if church is the right word. It's like a storefront church, you know. And I got to know her, and I spent quite a bit of time over there and got to know a few of her friends, and I photographed the place extensively. There was her living quarters, and then there was like a community room with tables. Then there was a chapel with pews, and she'd bought silver paint. She'd painted it all silver. And she was a sweet lady, and I tape recorded an interview with her, and I even tape recorded her and her friend doing this sort of chant, this very, very interesting. Well, you know, that project ended in 89, early 90, and I, as you do, we lose touch with these people. But every once in a while, through the years, I go back, and that building had been shuttered. You know, it was all closed up, and I'd walk around. But one day I was over there, and it looked like there was something going on. And there was a piece of paper outside, and it said something about the Yes Farm, and it gave an email address. So I emailed it, and it was this group of urban farmers, artists, that had acquired this building in this neighborhood, and they were doing art and having neighborhood get-togethers and had a garden and exhibits, and I told them. And they said, oh, come on, look at this. And we went outside, and hadn't noticed it before, but above one of the outside doors on Moran Street, they had put a picture, a headshot of a woman. And it was one of my pictures that I had taken of Estelle Laster 30 years earlier. And I would, you know, I would give prints to people. Okay. So apparently a neighbor somehow ended up with one of these prints, and they said, here, she used to live here. So they copied it, blew it up, and it was done with paint somehow or ink.
Mm-hmm. And where is that? That's at Shane?
No, that's on Moran and Frederick, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I there were three or four of them around. I talked to them, and they were sort of interested in showing, so I said, you know, I'd like to show the photographs I took in this same space so many years ago. So we had this, there were some other photographers in that also. So that was the Yes Farm show. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, there's no heat in the place, and it was only up for a weekend. You know, it wasn't something where people could just go and take a look. But
what other exhibits do you have in your files?
Places I've...
Yeah, what else would you do? What else could you...
Coming
you
up?
Have a collection
or,
of that you could do?
Oh, I, you know, Sandra, I have... I mean, right now I have these 50... You know, I have 50 pictures from the Cass Corridor, all framed. Mm-hmm. And
those were the front ones from...
They were from Affirmations. And I mean, I would like to have them around here somewhere, because mm-hmm. this is the Cass Corridor. But I guess I've been... you know, I went, just as for instance, I went to Cass Cafe mm-hmm. a number of years ago. And I talked to the guy that curates the exhibits there. And I just got... You know, I said I have all these pictures that I did in Detroit. And again, I think maybe in part it's because it's old stuff, mm-hmm. you know. But I didn't get anywhere with that. People are, I've asked different places. I've sort of, you know, put the feelers out. And it's like they're exclusionary, or it's, you know, they kind of look at you if it's a gallery and it's, they you know, you say, oh, you know, I have the, I guess they just sort of think you're just an amateur mm-hmm. that wants to put your, you know, put something up, put some of your art in a gallery. Because mm-hmm. I've, the different places I've, like MOCAD, mm-hmm. you know, I guess I was foolish enough to go in there one time and talk to them, and I just got the door slammed in my face. Oh. Which is, well, you know. And some of these some of these venues in the corridor here. I don't know. I just don't have any confidence. But
do you think it's because they're real? I mean, I'm searching for the right adjective. I mean, some of your photos are uncomfortable moments in the area.
Possibly. They're not, again, they're not, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, Detroit, you know, so maybe it's just my imaginings, but, you know, if a photographer, you can, you know, the reality sort of filters through the mind of the photographer, and they do something to it, maybe. I tried not to do too much of that. I just, like, point the camera, and so I sort of show just things as they are. You know, I don't take a lot of time to use lighting, or it's just, it's kind of snapshots. You know, I'm very sort of a democrat. You know, to me, photography is sort of the art of the people. You know, we can't all paint, but we can all use a camera. And I've always sort of kept it on that level. You know, I guess we aspire to be in a gallery, but I'm more comfortable showing in a library or a historical museum. I think that's sort of my place. I don't think of myself as an artist.
Historian.
I'm a picture. I am reasonably competent at using a camera and can somewhat compose a picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, so.
All right, so let's look at
This is Pole Town. This is, I was a graduate student at Wayne State. I was tipped off that the entire area, 465 acres, was going to be raised to build a new auto factory. So in February of 1981, I loaded up my press camera, my 4x5 press camera and film holders, and I went over there, and I started photographing on February 18th of 1981. And I continued to do it through December of 1981. So I made, I figured it out once, I made like 90 visits over there during this time. And every time I would do 8 to 10 sheets of film. And I would write, and I wrote down the date when I took all the pictures. And I also did some with the medium format camera, but I ended up with around 600 pictures. This document of this neighborhood, and of course, as time went on, the houses, things started to disappear, and actually the project ended. I photographed in maybe November, and one morning after that, I drove over there. I would take Woodward usually to the boulevard and turn right, and it wound around there across 75, and then it was a bridge that went over the railroad tracks, and then you'd come down and you'd go, and the boulevard used to go right into Pole Town. And I drove down, and there was a fence. There was a 10-foot or 8-foot high chain link fence. Since the last time I was there, because I didn't go as often as I used to, because there just wasn't anything left, but it had become private. You know, for all those months, I went over there and I just went into the heart of the neighborhood and I parked my car and I walked. I've always been a walker. That's one thing about me as I walk. The fence was up. I got my car, I drove away. That was the end.
Did you take a picture of it?
No, I should have, but I didn't. I should have taken a picture. No, exactly. That's like not photographing the outside of the Niagara apartment. There's a lot of stuff I didn't do. Don't remind me of it.
Sorry.
So this was sort of the core of the neighborhood. There was a huge apartment building on the corner. This is Shane Street looking south.
Exactly.
And the boulevard would have been to my back. So this was a big place called the, I forget. But I went around back through an alley and went under a fence and went up, climbed up and got through a window. in the back of this big apartment building, the Gray Lawn. It was called the Gray Lawn. And I went through a broken window and found a stairwell. It's spooky. You know, all these people, this place, I actually met people later that used to live here, that lived here. And there are all these, you know, those long hallways and all these rooms off the hallways, but just empty and debris, and never took any pictures there. But I went up to the roof, and I ended up doing, I went up there 4 or 5 times through the course of this project, and I would photograph in all directions. So the opposite of this would be looking north to Hamtramck, and I did that too. But so I have, so this is from that roof top of that. So is this at a different time on a misty day. And that's looking, actually, that's looking southwest toward Wayne State campus.
Yeah,
that was that's the back of a church. Okay. Actually, the couple that I met years later were married. No, it might have been a different church. They were married in the church that was, they lived in the Gray Lawn, and they were married in the church that was right along the boulevard. I'm not sure if that's the back of that church or not. This was like one of the first days. These were in February. So this is Joseph Campo looking north. That's on the right there is part of the old Dodge Main assembly plant, which was already being demolished. Joseph Campo. That was a place called the Famous Restaurant and Barbecue right on Shane Street. So this would be on the ground floor of what that huge apartment building, that big Gray Lawn apartment building. I went up on the roof. This was a charm. Carl Fisher was the owner, owned it for years. I got into an apartment. This really wasn't a people project. It was a landscape and building project, but I ended up photographing a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Somehow I was invited into an apartment building on the boulevard to photograph a child's first birthday. So I have, and these are all going to the Charles Wright Museum. They're interested in these. I have 20 or so pictures of people at this birthday party. These are children. This is St. Aubyn Street. The span in the background is 94.
Oh, wow.
And you can actually still stand in this area. St. Aubyn is the western border of the Poletown plant. It's not in there. It's not their property. Mm-hmm. So you drive along here now and make a turn, then you can go up and get on Shane Street that way. Mm-hmm. But they were doing, one of DTE or somebody was starting this project, and these children lived in an apartment building there on the corner of St. Aubyn, and I think it was Trombley, and there was this big, deep trench, but they were playing there. This is the bridge, the Grand Boulevard Bridge that went over these are the lines, the rail lines where the supply trains would come in and go over to the Dodge Main and unload all their stuff over there. This bridge still exists, although it's different now. There's big fences and you don't have these clear views. And one of those, I think this smokestack, I think maybe both of these are still there. This building is gone. Now this is the urban interior, so this is the Bukowczyk project.
What happened to those interviews?
They exist.
Yeah.
These pictures I cannot donate because these belong.